Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Guys, all are here this morning. Y'all can have a seat for just a moment. Thank you for taking time to be in worship here at the Southwest. I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors, and so we're just glad you're here. If you're online today, thanks for taking time to join in with us. And I'm going to just take a moment. We are getting ready to leave for camp, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. And so this is our camp band for the week, our worship team. And so I'm going to let Dallas introduce our guests just to let people kind of know who they are.
So back on the bass, Ken's been with us before. This is my friend Ken.
And hey! Yay!
And up front on the vocals, this is Caroline. And he's not a guest, but he's sitting in with us today, back all the way back from Amarillo. It's John. Yeah. And you know all the rest of us.
And you know everybody else. Yeah, sorry. Y'all are just part of the deal. Yes, that's just the way you are. So anyway, glad that y'all are here. If you want to go to camp, I've made this invitation every year, and sometimes people take me up on it. So you can leave tomorrow and come with us and volunteer, or you can come with us today, this afternoon, run home and put a t-shirt and a clean change of underwear in a bag and come join us. We're headed to Sacramento, New Mexico. Going to be a great time, a holy moment to give our kids a better foundation than the world could ever give them in Christ Jesus. And so that's where we're headed. Today we're all going to talk about, though, this idea. There's a question that Jesus asks a man who has been paralyzed for 38 years in Scripture. And isn't it crazy that Jesus would ask a man that has been paralyzed for 38 years, he asks him this question: do you want to get well? Now, that seems like an odd question, but it comes down to the desires of our heart. It comes down to our priorities. It comes down to our intentions. And so today, my question is going to be for you: do you want to get well? And we're going to unpack that a little bit and then respond to that through the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, as we're here this morning, my prayer for us is that we would search our hearts for the places where we need healing. Lord, it might be physically, emotionally, it might be in relationships, or all the different ways. Lord, it might be just a healing in our relationship with you, a mending of a separation that we have created in our sinfulness, where we have just gotten so used to being separated, Lord, we don't even know where to go anymore. And Lord, we've made up all sorts of excuses to that healing process. So, Lord, shine a light into the dark places of our lives. Even me, Lord, shine a light into the dark places where we need that restoration, where we need that healing, where we need you to abide in us and us in you. Lord, let it be so in the name of Christ. And all the people said, amen. Pray for our finances. You have the opportunity to give today, and as God calls you to give, you'll see the giving instructions up on the screen, or you can go online to our website. There's boxes out in the hallway if you want to give physically today in a cash or check, and we collect that at the end of the service. As always, remember, your money is important. It's important to God. It's important to you. It's important to the church, just that you would be good stewards of what you have. And so that's what I'm going to pray for. Lord, as we give today, Lord, and I say that with an understanding that we are going to do what you ask us to do, or that we are going to give. And Lord, that it would be to you. It would not to be to our church. Father, it would not to be to a bank account. Lord, that we are giving to you, Lord, for you to do with as you call us to. And Lord, and as we are good stewards to give to you, Lord, I pray that the leadership of our church, Lord, that we would be good stewards of what you call us to in ministry, to help others, Lord, to continue to show your kingdom to the world that so desperately needs to know you. Lord, and so as we do, Lord, we just pray that you would pour yourself out upon us, Lord, and Lord, I pray that it would be returned to us tenfold, Lord, so not that we would be rich, but Father, so that we would have more resources to give to you to further your kingdom, Lord, and so let it be so in the name of Christ, and all the people said, amen. Amen. As we think about being good stewards and how we move forward in ministry together and all the things that we do, how we build each other up and how we grow each other in Christ and how we as we send each other into the world, it's hard sometimes when we think about letting go of resources and we think about letting go of what we have built up in ministry, and today is one of those days. So we just had annual conference, and some of you don't even know what that is, and that's okay, but annual conference is where in our denomination, right, in the Global Methodist Church, we get together once a year, all of our churches, and we meet together, and boy, we have a great time of worship and teaching, equipping, and then we take care of just a little bit of time of what we do in ministry together. We used to call that business, but it really is ministry. And so, but that's like 30 or 45 minutes. The rest of it is just a great time together. And so we met the last 2 days on Friday and Saturday. We kept calling it 2 days. Les is here, and he was a part of that. And we kept saying it's 2 days. It was really 24 hours. That's really all it was. And but in that, we decide who's going to go where in different ways and kind of what churches are apart and what pastors are doing what they're doing. And so it's ironic and coincidental that we're also making a staff change here at the church. And so I'm going to announce a change that you're going to be very sad about, but I want to be very gracious about and very excited about, because we've equipped for several years, and so now we're sending someone to do it somewhere else. And so Levi, come on back up. Some of you thought I was leaving. Haha, no, you're stuck with me. Sorry. So Levi has been a part of us several times, actually, back and forth over the years, and we've equipped him and helped him grow in ministry, and he has taken a position prayerfully at Wolforth Methodist Church, and he's going to be the worship leader there. And so he still has a little time with us, but I wanted to announce it so you would have time to love on him. It's summer, and so not everybody is here every week, and so we'll announce it again next week. And not only is he a part in this room, but he does stuff on staff in maintenance. He does stuff on staff with our student ministry. And so there's a lot of little places where there's going to be gaps left in the church. And I just wanted to give Levi 30 seconds. Start the timer. We have a trap door you just don't know about.
I was actually going to ask for 15.
So. Yeah, okay, 15 seconds? Yes. Oh, that's even better. Just for him to say thanks, and we'll do it again next week as well. So, and we're going to pray over Levi, by the way.
Cool. Something that's very apparent on the staff culture here, I don't know if y'all have heard it or recited it, but the mission statement at St. Luke's is reach, grow, send forth fully devoted followers of Christ. And so back in early March, whenever it became a possibility that there might be an opening, I talked to Dallas, and he told me, well, Levi, the whole point of this thing is so we can send you out to be a worship leader. And so that was very apparent that Reach, Grow, Send is truly the mission. And so St. Luke's has been absolutely wonderful in that. There's my 15 seconds. And thank you, like, for truly a place to call home. What I'm excited about, I'm going to Wolforth, which is still part of the GMC. And so things like camp or annual conference or encounter, all that great stuff, I still get to see all your bright shining faces, so I'm pretty excited about that.
So let's pray over Levi, and again, we'll do it again next week. I think we have one more week after that, and so he's going to get lots of prayers. If you know Levi, he needs all the prayers we can get, and so we want to pray for him. And so if you want to today, or if you're here, how about we jump down here so nobody hurts themselves on the stage. Y'all can come on up. You can lay hands on him, and we'll pray for him.
The maintenance staff missed
him. Look at all these people that love you. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, and Lord, how you do fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, not just for our own salvation, Father, but so that we can be in the world, Lord, that we are not of this world, Father, but we are a part of it, and as we are, Lord, you call us to show others who you are. Father, to lead others into a saving relationship with you. And Father, I know Levi has followed you, Lord, has known you probably for as far back as he can remember in his life because of his parents and those that have gone before him, leading him to you. And Lord, so many people have come around him and have equipped him. Father, Dallas, Lord, me, and Lord, there's just countless others that I don't even know about. Lord, and so you have been calling him, and you have been equipping him for this moment in his life, this next chapter. And so, Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for who you are in him, and Father, who he is in you. And so, Lord, as he moves into this new place in ministry, Lord, I pray that you would equip him. Lord, that you would just fill him to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, and Lord, that he would be such a blessing to others, and Lord, that he would usher other people into your presence during his leadership in worship. Lord, and I don't mean that just by his singing or his piano playing. Lord, I mean that by everything that he does, everywhere that he sets his foot. And Lord, where there seems to be gaps and losses in his own life and relationships, and Lord, all these new leadership roles, Lord, just show him a way, equip him, and lead him. And Lord, as he looks for you in this new place in life, Lord, just I pray that you would just make a way for him at Wolforth. Lord, and all the new people he's going to encounter, Lord, you just, Lord, you make the way. You prepare hearts. You prepare minds. In Jesus' name, all the people said, amen. 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 Let's just give Levi a thanks of applause for all that he's done. And if you've ever worked on a church staff and you know that somebody's leaving, going to another church to do what they've done here, and how blessed they're going to be, and how excited we are for him, I also say this lovingly and in my personality, it is now open season on Levi for leaving us. So you can make all the jokes, you can give them all the hard time that you want, and I highly encourage you to do that, and let there be only the mercy of the Lord upon him and no mercy from us. So today, you can try to get the notes today, I'll put it up there, but I've been trying all morning to get back to it, and it will not load. Matter of fact, it's going back like 2 or 3 weeks, which I don't understand, but again, we don't run that service, we just use it. So you can try to scan that QR code and get them. If you do happen to get them, let me know, so that would be great. But today, the title for today is, Do You Want to Get Well? This idea that I've already told you about is, where is your heart and your mind? Where are your intentions about what God is asking you in life? And it really does seem to be a strange situation, and so what I want to tell you is that when we reach all of our goals in life, it doesn't matter what they are, there still seems to be an emptiness, right? There still seems to be a place we're lacking. You can obtain all the wealth you want, but still there may be some deficits somewhere in your life. You can attain relationships that you want, but yet there are still deficits in your life. There's still something missing. You can get the job status, you can get the relationship status, whatever it might be, but there still seems to be a place in your life, there still seems to be an empty spot where we're trying to fill it with something or someone or some activity. And so the place in our life where that gap is what I want to say is, tends to be the only place that God can fill. Tends to be the only place where the Holy Spirit can really work and move in our life and take the chaos and the questions and bring peace and answers. But yet, we don't recognize that, and so we don't go to him for that. We go to doctors, or we go to addictions, or we go to hobbies, or we go to relationships, and yet we still just need to go to Jesus. And so today's teaching really happens when Jesus goes to a place where he knows this man has been for 38 years trying to get well. Now, this is my own understanding of the scripture, the way I see it, the way I read it, the way I have read commentaries and other scholars and interpreted it. It's not like, and by the way, if you have some older translations, if you have the King James Version, I'm going to point this out to you, but just quickly, come and talk to me if you want to have a great academic theological discussion about it. But even if you look in your Bible right now, in this chapter, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, most of your translations are going to be missing verse 4. And you may not ever notice that. You may just gloss right over that. But it is because they think that verse 4 was put in at a different time later in the tradition of Scripture. It's not in the earliest manuscripts. I can talk to you about that. We could go on forever. I'm not going to. But verse 4 is missing, and it is because it wasn't in the tradition, it wasn't in the understanding of the Jewish culture or us that God was stirring up those waters, okay? It says that an angel of the Lord would stir up the water in verse 4. That is not the case, okay? And so that's why it's not there. Again, come talk to me about it, okay? So John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, Jesus goes to this place. He goes to this pool where people are there looking for healing, and here's the encounter that took place. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews. I'll put that up there. Would you mind following along on the screen instead of me? It makes it a lot easier. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there's a pool, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porticos or porches. In these porticos lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, limping, or paralyzed. Now a man who had been there ill for 38 years, Jesus, upon seeing this man lying there and knowing that he had already been in that condition for a long time, said to him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool where the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down in front of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. So it's very important. Jesus already knew this man. We don't know if Jesus already knew him personally, but we know that Jesus knew. My understanding is Jesus, being God himself, he knew this man was there. He knew where he needed to go to interact. He knew where he needed to be to show his power and his divinity and his grace and his mercy, and that's where he went. He went to this place looking for this particular person. It wasn't that he walked into a hospital and started looking around and going, "Oh, let me see, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by his toe." No, that's not what he did. He didn't go in and just decide to heal one over others because of whatever reason. No, he had a mission. He had an understanding. He had an idea of what he wanted to do, and he knew where this person was. In this pool, this pool was a place where water was filling up, okay, on a regular basis. And because of where it was and because of the tradition that it was created and how the Jews used it, they built this structure around it. And so having this structure built around it, people started gathering there and people started staying there. And then this tradition started happening that if they would just be the first one in the water, they would receive healing. Now, you talk about a tradition that was created and made up by man, and people started thinking, this is what we need to follow. I think what we are going to hear today, what I want to convey to you today, is so many times we think we know what God wants to do and how God is working. We believe that because of something that we made up over time, that this is the way God works, when really we made it up and God is not working that way at all. God wants us to hear from Him. He wants to follow Him. He wants us to do what He's calling us to do and not what we have called each other to do. Not what we've made up in our own minds, but I'm jumping ahead a little bit and I will come back to that. As Jesus walked into the area, it was filled with a whole lot of reasons for Him to work and to move and to act. And it is true with us as we gather, every one of us has a need. Every one of us has something or someone we can bring before God. Every one of us should be looking for God to move and work among us. But how often is it that we don't do that? How often is it we gather out of tradition? We gather out of obligation. You come, remember, with no expectation of what God wants to do in your life when you come to worship, or when you come before Him in a Bible study, or when you come before Him in prayer time. You just do it because that's what you've always done. You do it because you heard maybe this will work. You do it because maybe your mama told you to do it, or your dad told you to do it. Maybe you do it and you don't even know why. That's the question you need to answer yourself. And now look, this Jesus, he only asked the man. He didn't ask how he got there. He didn't ask why he got there. He didn't ask him, what did you do to get this way? What mistake did you make? What poor choice did you make in life? What happened to you to get this way? He didn't ask what his excuses were. He didn't ask anything about his life in general, right? He didn't blame him. He didn't want to know the reasons why. He didn't ask any of that. He just asked one simple question. He said, do you want to get well? And I've already said it, and I say it to myself all the time. I'm sorry, God, but what a silly question. I mean, if I see somebody laying on the side of the road with a broken leg, I don't pull up and ask them, hey, would you like for me to take you to the hospital? I don't pull up and ask somebody that's bleeding on the side of the road and saying, hey, do you want to get well? I don't ask you in the middle of a relationship crisis, well, do you really want this relationship to work out? I don't ask you when you're broke and you need money, how about if I just mow your yard for you instead of give you money, right? I mean, it's an obvious answer, but yet Jesus, he asks it anyway. But here's the even crazier part. The man doesn't answer Jesus' question. He doesn't respond to the question. He does just like I do. I give the answer I want to hear, right? I give the answer that I want Jesus to answer back to me. I want to answer in a way that I get what I want, what I think is right, what I think is the way it's supposed to work out. And so he does. He simply answers the question in such a way that Jesus, it doesn't say it here, but surely Jesus asks the question again. Jesus says, do you want to get well? The man says, sir, which tells me he doesn't even know who Jesus is. He doesn't respond to him in a holy way. He doesn't respond to him in a traditional Jewish understanding or Christian understanding of God. He just says, sir, anybody called Jesus sir lately? I don't think so. I don't think so. And so yet he responds, said, sir, I have no man, no person to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. Because what he needs, just imagine, let's just say all of us are around the swimming pool, okay? We're all there, and when the whistle blows, how many of y'all grew up in a day and age where the lifeguards took everybody out of the pool and everybody had to sit out for a few minutes to give the lifeguards a break? Anybody grow up with that besides me? Yeah, we're all really old. They don't do that anymore. Matter of fact, they don't even have lifeguards half the time anymore. But, and so here it is, when the whistle blows, whoever gets in the water first, you get the prize. And so all of us, I mean, we have legs that work. We have arms that work. We can move pretty quick. Some of us can move faster than others. And so the first one in wins. He, if his arms work but his legs don't work, is he trying to pull himself in? Is he trying to army crawl in? Is he trying to crab, push himself backwards to get in? Obviously, somebody's going to beat him all the time. And so he's just hoping that someone would have mercy on him and they would pick him up and put him in the water. And so he's saying, I don't even have anybody. The first thing that you have to recognize here is this idea of dependence. Where is your dependence today? Is it on Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, or is it on your pastor? Is it on your spouse? Is it on your friend? Is it on your wealth? Is it on your gifts and your talents and your abilities? Is it on your job? Is it on anything else? Now, I know we have to do all these other things, and we have dependence on others, but what is your priority? Where is your priority? When you are in need, when you are in crisis, when you are just living your best life, where is your dependence? When you go to prayer, where is your dependence? Is it, oh, Lord, thank you for today, and thank you for this, this, and this, and let everything else be great. Amen. Thank you for this food. Rub-a-dub-dub. Thank you for the grub. Or is it more of a dependence on really who God is? Part of the man's problem was he was depending on others. I don't know this. Scripture doesn't tell us, but if it doesn't tell us, then I think I have to make the assumption in so many different ways. It doesn't say that he had been praying to God the Father for 38 years to get in the water and it just never happened. No, it says that I don't have anybody, I don't have another man, woman, or child to help me. His dependence was not on God. His answer was not an answer, it was an excuse. How many of you have all the excuses in the world besides me every time God asks you a question, right? Remember being quizzed by your parents about something, and boy, and you had every excuse in the world why something didn't work out. You had every excuse in the world of why you didn't take the trash out when you were supposed to take the trash out. You had every excuse in the world why something was broken, or why you didn't make the grade, or why your brother had that knife or that fork sticking out of his back. That was just at my house, and I mean, I didn't have an excuse. I was mad. I stabbed him with a fork. Right? We have excuses. Jesus just wanted an answer. It was really an easy question. Do you want to get well? Yes! Yes. But he doesn't. How long has it been, I think, how long has it been for you? I think he had been there so long that he had lost sight of any hope. 38 years? I mean, I don't know if he got dragged there every day, if somebody carried him there every day. I don't know if he lived there. I don't know how he got food. I don't know if he laid there in his own stink and filth. I don't know. We just know that he'd been there for 38 years. How long have you been in your place where you have lost hope and you've been in your excuses and you haven't responded to the God saying, do you want to get well? Do you really want to get out of this? Do you really want to change? Do you really want to stop your self-dependence? Do you really want to stop making excuses? Do you really want to follow me? Get up. Get up. Because here's what's not going to work. I'm not going to give you all the scriptures. They're actually online in the notes. Hopefully we'll get that corrected. But if you want to change, confess yourself as a sinner. That's really all he had to do. All he had to do was say, I can't do this on my own, and I'm sorry, I've been trying all my life for 38 years. That's confession of a sinner. I'm not going to say that I'm paralyzed and I've been trying to get in the water by myself. No, but I know that I am paralyzed in my own self-dependence and my own sin, and I need help. That's what confession is. Be convinced of your need for Jesus, not somebody else, but just Jesus, to get you through life, to get you through marriage, to get you through school, to get you through friendships, to get you through neighbors, to get you through money, to get you through everything, right? Just Jesus. Which brings us to the only other point for today in this idea of do you want to get well is what is your desire? What is our real desire? Our dependence needs to be on Jesus and not anything else. And what is our desire? Because this is where the man's heart came into play. Think about it. In my mind, he's been trying, okay? I'm going to give him credit. He's been trying for 38 years to get in that pool. I don't know what his effort was, but obviously Jesus saw him even before he physically saw him, and he knew that he wanted to bring healing to that man, and I just have to assume it was because of the man's heart. It was because something inside of him had the desire. He just didn't know how to carry it out because of his misguided, right? Because of his misguided dependence. So what is your desire? How is it with your soul today, as we say in Christianity and in the church? Where is your desire? Because the helpless desire of this man apparently got the attention of God. Apparently. Do you have the helpless desire to change? I want to change. I don't know how. I believe that's good enough. Jesus, my dependence is on you. My desire is to change, but I don't know how. I've been addicted to this for 38 years. I've been addicted to this mat. Well, that's a funny play on words, isn't it? Matt. I've been addicted to this mat for 38 years. I don't know how to get off of it. And Jesus says, get up. Now listen to me. This is it. Jesus had already done the miracle in the man. He had already done it. Now, I love this great theological, deep-seated thought in my head is, did the miracle happen when God decided to go to the man before he ever got there? Or did it happen when he got to the guy and said, get up? Or did it happen when he asked him the question? I don't know, but the miracle had already happened inside of him. And all Jesus said to him was, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. See, the miracle had happened. It was the man going to accept the miracle. God did his part. The man had to do his. God did his part, and the man had to do his. He had to respond to Jesus' question. He had to respond to Jesus' command. He had to respond to Jesus' call on his life that you all have. I would like to say today that I'm quite sure so many miracles have already happened in all of our lives. We just have to respond to them. You have prayers answered. You just have to respond to them, because he could say, no, I've been here 38 years. I mean, look at this setup I've got. I mean, I've got my Keurig over here. I can reach it. I can do this. I can have my coffee every morning. I mean, I've got my iPad, and it works, and I can just download everything I want. I don't need to move. I mean, people feel sorry for me. They're bringing me my food. I've got it all right here. I know I don't smell really good, but I've really gotten used to it. And actually, I kind of like the smell because it really keeps the other people away, and I'm kind of an introvert. And so this is really working out for me. That's funny to me, because that's the way we live our lives. We get comfortable, even in our hurt and our heartache. We get comfortable. He might even say, you know what? I know it hadn't worked out for 38 years, but I'm really counting on that pool over there, and I really think I'm going to make it one of these days. Come back and check on me later. Sometimes we do that as well. Sometimes we just want to keep on doing what we've always been doing because that's all we know what to do. That's all we know how to live. That's all we know, even though it's not working. And Jesus says, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Religion's going to fail us. Being a good person's going to fail us. These are all online too with scriptures. Trusting in just the goodness of humanity is going to fail us. Your family is going to fail you at some point. Even your pastor or your church community at some point is going to fail you. is going to hurt you, is not going to live up to whatever expectations you have. And in community, I mean, I hope we can overcome that, but do you see that it's not about all of us, it's about the Lord in and through all of us that matters. It's about the Lord asking you the question, are you ready to get well? Do you want to get well after 38 years? Are you going to have a true desire to have a trust in Jesus, a dependence in Jesus? And the reason I ask you this is just this last week having a conversation with somebody else, right, who was, it doesn't matter, older than I am. I know that's hard for some of you young people to believe, right? Older than me, and just saying, I don't know how to depend on God because I have everything I need. I don't know how to truly depend on someone that I really don't need to depend on. And that's where it hit my head was, you just have to have the desire to do it. That's it. You just have to have a desire to want to depend on God. And my question, when this popped up into my head last night, I'm going to confess, last night after annual conference, when I'm praying through trying to figure out what to bring to you this morning, it was the question of this man that I was talking to. What's our dependence and what's our desire? And maybe it's just for me today, but I hope it's for all of us, because the question is for me, do you want to get well? And that question for me is, do you want to stay stuck in the same thing you've always been stuck in, or do you want to really have a new relationship with Jesus? Is that what we want? Because things may be going great for you, but the question is, are you ready for what's next? Are you ready to pick up your mat and go do something new? Because Jesus is asking us, do you want to get well? Because here's what I don't want. I never, ever, ever want any of us to be sitting around doing what we think is the traditionally right thing to do that God's called us to do, and Jesus walks in and only one of us recognizes him. Because we're so used to doing what we're doing. We're so used to this kind of worship. We're so used to this kind of mission. We're so used to this kind of service. We're so used to this Bible study or this group or this. All great godly things. But yet when Jesus walks in to do a miracle, we miss him. Because apparently most of the people at the pool missed him. They missed him. The guy that had been I'm just really making it dramatic now, the stinky, nasty guy that had been sitting there for 38 years that everybody got so used to seeing, the guy, he picked up his mat and he walked right out. And nobody saw it. Boy, you don't want that to be us. I don't want that to be me. I don't want to miss Jesus walking into the room. I don't want to miss Jesus and what he's doing in your lives and my life. I don't want you to miss what he's doing in the person's life next to you, because that's the witness of God. That's the witness of his mercy and his grace and his power. It may not be happening to me today, but it's happening. And that's the question for us. Do we want to get well? Do we want to see what God's doing? Whether it's in my life or yours. I say the answer is yes. So here's what I want to do. Will's doing his best to get up here as fast as he can. I just want to take a moment of prayer. And just for you, if there's a spot or area in your life, let's just take a moment of prayer time. And for you to just... you ask the Lord, there's two things. Lord, where do I need to get well? Because here's you're expressing your dependence. You're saying to the Lord God Almighty, I need to know. I need to know where I'm stuck. And it's okay to say, I'm used to this. But then to show him your desire, to say, Lord, I'm used to it, but I want to move. I want to change. I want to follow you. So let's do that. Lord God, for us, for me, Lord, where? I know some places I need to get well, and I know some places I really want to do that. But Lord, I bet even in my own best intentions, Lord, there's probably plenty of other places where you're looking, and let's go, let's start there. Let's take care of this. Thank you, Matt, for recognizing where you need to get well, but let me show you some other places. And so nobody's looking around. We're not trying to make a spectacle out of any of this, but if you just want to answer that question that Jesus is asking each and every one of us, do you want to get well? Will you just make your expression of your heart's desire known to him just by raising your hand so I can see? And I just want to pray for you, Lord God, as those hands are raised. Lord, there's a new desire for some places that we want your change to happen in our lives. Lord, and you're asking the question, so I know that you're ready to move. You're ready to do the miracle. You're ready to institute the change in our life. And Lord, we're expressing that desire. You're telling us to get up and walk. Lord, and we're saying we're ready. So teach us, show us. And Lord, if we didn't raise our hand because we're embarrassed, that's okay. You still know our hearts. But Lord, if we didn't raise our hands because we are blinded by our own selfishness and our own self-desire and our own self-dependence, Lord, change our hearts. Change our hearts. To know there is no one exempt from your desire to be made well inside each and every one of us. And then, Lord, let it be a witness, a great testimony. Lord, as we get up and walk in a new way, I pray that people would recognize it, not for fanfare or embarrassment, but, Lord, for your glory, your honor, and your praise, and for someone else to come to know you because of what you've done in our lives. Lord, that we would be a living witness and testimony to your grace and your mercy and your love and to your power. That's what we want today. That's who we want to be. We want to be yours. And we want to bring as many people along with us as we possibly can as we are ushered into your kingdom, little by little, day by day, until we are all together again in eternity. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. I pray that as we go through our week, that it's not just be a time right here in this very moment, but it will be a time that we continue to commune with him, we continue to be in relationship with him, and we will continue to grow in him, to be made well, and to walk and to follow. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name that I pray for each and every one of us. And all the people said, amen. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.